All right, if you take the Bibles, let's turn to Joshua chapter number 2. Joshua chapter number 2. Joshua and the children of Israel were about to begin the conquest of entering into the promised land. Prior to beginning the conquest, we find that Joshua sent two spies to check out the situation in Jericho because it was the very first obstacle that lay in the path of their possessing the promised land. That's what we're going to read about tonight in chapter 2 here. Jericho was a city that was grossly immoral. And it was surrounded by high walls that were very well fortified and very secure. Jericho was surrounded actually by two walls about 15 feet apart. And as the two spies entered the city, they could spy the inn that Rahab lived in. She was not only innkeeper, but she was a harlot. And they went there. Of course, they're trying to find out information. The best place to find that information is where people come in at. And that's where they went. As the two spies entered the city, they came to Rahab, the harlot's house, for lodging. And though the story of Rahab, as it's recorded in Scripture, is brief, it does give us some keen insights about her. And the main thing in her recorded story is her part in the destruction of Jericho by the forces of Israel under Joshua. She was key to that happening. And the Lord used her in a great way. She was used of the Lord to save the lives of these two spies. And that's what we're about to see here. And for that deed, she and all her family were spared. And after that, relatively little is said about her. But what is said tells us much. We're going to see here, she is a scarlet woman. She's a prostitute whose faith led her to use a scarlet thread, a rope, and brought her under the scarlet flow, blood, that made her pure and white. She was saved by grace through faith, and we'll share some things in the New Testament that are said about her. But in Rahab the harlot, we're going to see a beautiful picture of the power of God's grace. Okay? So let's begin tonight. We'll pick up in chapter number 2 and verse number 1 as we take a look at Rahab's background. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Now, the name Rahab means spaciousness or broad. Kind of funny a little bit. I wonder if that's where guys get off calling a woman a broad. I don't know. I don't know where they came up with that terminology a lot of times for a woman. But her name means spaciousness or broad. And Rahab was an Amorite who dwelled in Jericho. And Jericho was just west of the Jordan River and would be the first major obstacle Israel found in Canaan. Now, as an Amorite, Rahab would have been part of the Canaanitish religion that was basically heathen and idolatrous. So she was an idolater too. And the people of the city were mindful of the threat posed by Israel and were concerned whether or not the gods would give them victory. Let's continue reading. It's verse number 2. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them.' But she had brought them to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan and to the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and when you did what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. So they've already taken care of some Amorites on the other side of Jordan, but they were fixing to take care of the Amorites on this side of Jordan here. And it said, there, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, notice this, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this, our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou hast didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window, and they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. And so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So we see that the people of the city were mindful of the threat posed by Israel, and they were concerned whether or not their gods would give them the victory. In fact, we see Rahab was convinced that they were toast. I mean, she figured out, I need to work a deal on my part if I expect to be alive. And Rahab had a family living in the city, according to verse number 13 that we read there, that she had a father, a mother, brothers, and sisters. Now, although they did not live with her, she obviously maintained some sort of contact with them, but she was a harlot. Efforts have been made over the years to just make her an innkeeper or otherwise, but those efforts do not do justice to the Scriptures. The Scriptures call her a harlot, because that's what she was. There's no way of determining exactly what led her into such a life. Whatever it was a bad decision on her part. Even though she was a harlot, she was a human being who loved her family and was apparently loved by them. She was a sinner involved in an unjustifiable profession. She was not a monstrous being. You know, she wasn't a monster to look at. She wasn't past feeling or beyond help. She had not reached the point where her conscience had been seared or her mind had become reprobate. She was tender to God moving in her heart. When she heard the things about what God had done, she was convinced that He was the true God. When she heard what the Lord had done through Israel, through the nation of Israel, to not only the Egyptians, but also to the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of the river, she was convinced that their God, the Lord, God Jehovah, was the one true God. Now, we see there in the first six verses, we read about Rahab's part in the Battle of Jericho, that these two spies were sent by Joshua into the house of Rahab the harlot, and they would have entered Jericho through the gates of the city, which were usually left open in the daytime unless they were under attack. They would close the gates. No doubt they sought to blend in with the crowds about the city. Jericho was a busy city, and they just kind of blended in, came in. But they didn't blend in real well. Somebody knew that they were strangers. And they saw them go into Rahab's house. And Rahab, in addition to being a harlot, provided lodging for people. And there could be no doubt that God was in these two men going to her lodge. And Rahab was questioned about these two men had been seen entering. We read that in verses 2 through 5. The spies were noticed in their activity, and Rahab hid the spies and then told her questioners that the two men left about dark just before the gate was shut. And of course she lied, but it's okay because, yes, a lie is wrong, but she was doing this on the part of, this was going to be a war. And you don't deal in truth when you're in a war with somebody. And she chose sides. She chose the side of Israel. And there's all kinds of deception that takes place whenever you're in the midst of a battle like that. And so this was pre-battle, I know, but nevertheless it was needed to protect these two spies and to protect what the children of Israel were about to do. Now, Rahab hid the spies with stalks of flax on her rooftop, according to verses 6 and 7 that we read there. Now, understand that flax was an herb that grew 2 to 3 feet high and had blue flowers on it. It was used to make linen and the cloth for clothes. It was also used to make linseed oil. And the presence of the flax shows that Rahab must have been an industrious woman. Not only did she have her lodging business and her harlotry business, but also that she was industrious in, I think she probably made the rope or cord that she let the spies down by, and because lots of times those were made out of flax also. Now, Rahab expressed her faith in the Lord to the spies, which is an important thing here. She knew that the Lord had given Israel the land, according to what we read there in verse number 9. Look at verse number 9 again. She said to the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." I mean, she had to be convinced in her heart. I mean, here she was going to be a traitor to her own people, traitor to her own country. But at least she got her family out of there. Okay. Your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She knew the hoopla that was going on in Jericho at this particular time, and of course she had concern about those very things. But she knew the Lord had given Israel the land. She knew the Lord had dried up the sea, and she knew how Israel had destroyed the two kings of the Amorites. She recognized that the Lord Jehovah was God in heaven and in earth. I like the phrase there, the latter part of verse number 11, where it says, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." That's a solid statement of faith, isn't it? That's a solid statement of believing on the Lord. So there's no question in her mind about who God was and what He had done and what He could do. Rahab acted on the basis of what she knew and what she believed. There in verse number 12 and 13, she received the action that she instituted there. She requested that kindness be shown to her on the basis of what she had done for the spies. Now, she hadn't finished doing what she'd done for the spies. I mean, they weren't gone yet, and they hadn't escaped yet. But I think she knew that the Lord was going to help them, and she wanted to be a help to them too. And she had done this not because of who the spies were, but because of who the Lord was. Again, she was convinced that the Lord was going to have victory in Jericho through His people, and she wanted to be on the right side of this thing. And she sought safety for her family and for herself. Love and concern were being shown for her loved ones here, and her actions show both wisdom and faith. We can see her faith, and we can see, you know, she was a pretty smart woman, even though she got to be kind of dumb to be a harlot, but otherwise she was smart. And others in Jericho had the same knowledge that Rahab had, but they did not have the faith to act on that knowledge. Look at James chapter number 2 for just a minute. James chapter number 2 and verse number 19 here. James, the half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, talks about Rahab, and he also talks about this matter of belief. He's talking about faith here, and talking about a faith that works. You know, if your faith don't drive you to action, it's not a biblical faith. It's basically what is brought out in this passage of Scripture. And let's take a look at some verses here. Look at James chapter 2, and let's begin reading verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? In other words, can that type of faith save him? A faith that's just a mental assent, basically, is what he's saying here. Something that's, you know, somebody said, well, I believe, you know, kind of like believing in Santa Claus, you know, or whatever. I believe, but you don't act upon the belief. Notice what it says, verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, if it hath not works, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, and you're talking about saying one thing, and the action shows something different. So what he's talking about here. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And here's the key. I will show thee my faith by my works. Okay. And verse 19, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, I'm sure that... There were a lot of folks in Jericho that believed in God, but you know, they were no better than the devil. Now, she believed that the Lord God Jehovah was Lord. Notice on further down. Look at verse number 20. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now we know that Abraham was justified by faith, but it was a faith that works. He believed God, and when God said, I want you to take the life of your son, he believed that God would be able to raise his son back up, because God had said, it's through Isaac that your seed's going to be called. And so he was willing to take his own son's life. He was stopped short of doing that, but he believed. His actions showed the faith that he had. Look at verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And you think, talking about the works show what kind of faith. It reveals what the faith is like. And then he gives us Rahab here in verse 25. Verse 25, look at it. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Now, Rahab could have said, well, I believe God's going to, you know, this is what God's going to do. But then she could have turned them in. Would that have showed that she believed God? It wouldn't, would it? She said she believed God was going to give Jericho over, and she showed it by her works, sending the messengers out another way. We know that Rahab was promised kindness and safety by the spies back in Joshua 2:14, and Rahab aided the spies in escaping there in verse 15 and 16. They were let down by a scarlet cord through a window, and the rope or cord was likely one that she had woven herself. Her house was located on the city wall. And yes, we talked about how there was two parts of the wall, about 15 feet between. You would have had a house built upon both sections of that, and the window of her lodge there would have been on the outer wall, and they were let down. They would overlook the outer wall, and she let them down there through that window. They were told to hide themselves in the mountains for 3 days until the pursuers were returned to the city. So we know here that these two spies wanted to make sure that Rahab understood that they were not going to be held responsible for anybody who wasn't in her house. If they were in the house, they were going to take responsibility for them. If she put that scarlet line, she was told to put the scarlet line in the window, and all who were in her house would be spared. And Rahab committed herself to do what was required there, and Rahab was spared when Jericho was destroyed. Look at Joshua chapter 6. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but I want you to see that they followed through on what they said. Joshua 6, let's see, verse number 22. Look at verse number 22. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. I mean, I'm sure these two guys said, hey, we want this responsibility. We want to go get her. We want to get hers because we made promise to her. And we see there in verse number 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And that's a key phrase there, left them without the camp. I understand that the reason why they were left without the camp is because ceremonially they were unclean. They weren't allowed to be in the camp being unclean. Look at verse number 25 also. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. Talking about the day of when this book was written, she was dwelling in Israel because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So Joshua instructed his people to spare only Rahab and her family. And I'd written down verse 7, but it's verse 17 there is where he told them that the city was going to be accursed and all that was in there. Only Rahab the harlot would would live and all that were in her house because she hid the messengers. Now Joshua instructed the two spies to go bring Rahab and her family out, and they made that oath and they would fulfill it, and they did. Rahab and her kindred were brought out and left without the camp because no unclean thing was allowed within the camp. But Rahab's later history indicates that she became a part of Israel and she observed all the ordinances pertaining to worshiping the Lord. By the time of the writing of the book of Joshua, she was living amongst the people of Israel. She was living there according to Joshua 6:25 that we read. Now, let's take a look further also at the story of Rahab that is given in the New Testament. The first place she is mentioned is in the genealogy of Christ in Matthew 1 and verse number 5. In Matthew 1, verse number 5, we find there's a listing there in Matthew 1 of the genealogy. And interesting thing that you'll find, there are three what we consider immoral women that were included in the reckoning there. You had not only Rahab, but you had Tamar, who was a harlot. And you have also Bathsheba, of course, who was wicked with David. But we know from Matthew 1, verse 5, that she was married to Salmon, who is believed to have been one of the spies. That would make sense. You know, the spies were saved by her and not turning them in, and one of them no doubt fell in love with her. But she was the mother of, it's called Booz, it says there in Matthew 1, 5, but Boaz is who it is, who married Ruth, making her the great-grandmother of King David. She was the great-grandmother of King David. Her listing shows her to be a fully accepted woman among the people of God. Her past was taken care of by the blood, and she became a new creature in the Lord. She's also said to have been spared because of her faith. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. We've already taken a look at James that illustrated her working faith, that her she gave evidence of her faith by her works. But we see also the mention of her faith in Hebrews 11 and verse number 31. Now, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And by the way, the faith chapter shows this working faith also. Somebody believed, and how you know they believe is because of what they did. How do we know that Noah believed God? He built the ark, right? I mean, that's the evidence that he believed. He wasn't saved by building the ark. He was saved by believing God. And when he believed God, God told him to build an ark. And believing God, he built the ark like God told him to do. And we see there in Hebrews 11, verse number 31, that Rahab is only one of two women that are mentioned by name in Hebrews 11. The other is Sarah, Abraham's Sarai. Okay? She's the first one. Rahab is the second one mentioned by name. It says there in verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And it shows her the outstanding thing of her was that was her faith. She believed the Lord. She didn't perish with those that believed not. All of them had heard the same thing. They had heard what Israel had done on the other side. And we know that they had that information, but only Rahab acted upon it. Her faith was the difference between her and those who perished in the destruction of Jericho. So Rahab is an example of the greatness of the grace of God. Amen. God can save anybody. He can. Amen. And Rahab is an example of biblical faith that acts on belief. It's not just a mental assent that we're saved by. It's the action in our life that shows our faith. We believe, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's the faith that we're saved by grace through faith, yes. But the faith that saves is a faith that acts. Amen. All right, that's our Bible study for this evening. Let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer tonight.